Yesterday, Ami and Mai and Hung, we were talking about the discussions, and then at some point I made the remark that we can see that in one's life, understanding is developed so little. So after that, Mai said, because it's developed so little, so if we don't develop, if it's not developed, it doesn't matter. Would you like to say more about that?
Yoga, yoga, yoga.
Just joking, not serious. Yes, I'm totally agree with terms when she said that in one life the panya developed very, very little. So her reminder make me feel more relaxed and we understand that, understand my condition, and we can't push anything quicker.
We are studying Dhamma just to get understanding, to gain, or to have less and less attachment.
Less and less.
Not just have more and more understanding, but it's the way to have less attachments.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, we think that we can get the understanding very little at a time. And this life, we can get just very little understanding, no progress at all, right? But actually, that's the way it is, because the avijja, ignorance, and attachment grows that way. Very, very little at a time, but so often more than kusala. That's why we have accumulated lots of avijja and attachment. And now just begin to accumulate right understanding and detachment, little, very little at a time. Is that not enough for this life? You'd like to have more, or what?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The moment we'd like to have more, that is attachment again. So one has to know that the more you'd like to have, the more attachment is there again.
So you stress then it's important to have less attachment, and then
less ignorance.
About more understanding, but more about less attachment.
Less ignorance too.
Yeah, excuse me?
Less ignorance, yeah.
Nina, I don't think Ajahn said it's important to have less attachment. Mm-hmm. What she said was that we develop understanding for the sake of understanding, and also because it brings less attachment.
It brings less.
But it's not a case of having to have less attachment.
No.
That's why each word should be studied very, very carefully. Yeah.
So, Ajahn, in connection with how you say to us so often, trying to understand is a hindrance to understanding. Could you say something about right effort? How to understand right effort, please.
If we are not forgetful, like seeing now, it's not self. See, just that. Always forget. And would like to have more and more details of all dhammas. What for? Because even right now, seeing arises and it sees. And Buddha taught a lot about reality right now that should be known. Otherwise, it's impossible to have less of ignorance about whatever appears. And as long as there is more and more ignorance still, how can there be the understanding of seeing as it is? That's why no matter how much we have heard about the words of the teaching, many, many words, what about just one word like anatta? No self, no one. But there are different realities right now to be studied. And by hearing more about it, it can condition a little bit of understanding, like the yesterday question about nama, see. It's not the word, but it's a reality which can experience. And there's many, many realities which can experience, like hearing is that which can experience sound. Seeing now can see that which appears. So by hearing and understanding this at moment of seeing or hearing, it can condition moment of beginning to understand that which isn't understand for long, long time. How can there be a sudden moment of understanding seeing that self? Impossible. How long had Pandit Sariputta accumulated parami in order to become Sotapanna, just Sotapanna, after he heard Pandit Asachi's words? See, right then there can be the understanding of whatever appears from eons and eons that he had accumulated the understanding from hearing about it, from many Buddhas too. Now we are like those people in the Buddha's time before they became enlightened. How long will you live this life? How many years? Eons? No, not at all. So it depends on understanding and all paramis. For example, if Buddha taught about seeing and we don't mind about understanding it at all, so how can there be the moment of penetration, the truth of it? And if you try to do something special just to hurry to know it, then you cannot understand the accumulation like now. It's condition. It's there. So in order to learn to understanding realities as not self, it has to be so very natural so that there is no attachment, asava, oka, yoka, ignorance and attachment are all of this, near or far, always there. Is this far or near attachment? So very close to seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And this is the understanding of how the teachings is not for everyone. Just for those who have accumulation to see, the benefit, the best thing in life is to understand whatever appears now. They are all anatta. No matter what you are thinking about, it's conditioned to think that way. The way you look, the way you talk, everything is conditioned.
John, you said that attachment is very near, and this is why the
yes,
teaching...
it's there.
Yes,
it's there. Right. When you move your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is why the teachings are not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that this is the point that a lot of people find very difficult to
right.
accept, that attachment is near, so near that in fact it's present all the time. So if one can appreciate that and it one doesn't react against it, then it's being unable to accept that is a big obstacle to developing understanding,
yes.
I think. So we're fortunate if we can hear that and accept it.
Mm. understanding it.
And it's easy to verify also that mm-hmm. attachment is so yeah. near. There's so much of it all the time.
So uncountable attachment from this morning to now. So don't think about how great you have panya.
And so whenever there are conditions for any kind of kusala citta to arise, at those moments of kusala citta, effort is there and it's right because it's kusala. And so if it's the effort that arises at moments of considering the Dharma, then it's right effort that's leading to right effort of the Eightfold Path. So it's arising by those same conditions. No one to do anything about it. So even now while we're listening, many moments of right effort, but no need to think about how to have right effort because it's arising anyway at these moments.
Are we not on the first of the Eightfold Path now?
Beginning.
Yes.
Sub-Eightfold Path maybe, because I think that it's the leading to the direct understanding of realities, so it's the beginning.
Just learn to know what understanding understands.
And by understanding what understanding understands, like talking now about seeing now or visible object that is seen, this is beginning to understand realities, which is the Eightfold Path, and right effort of the Eightfold Path is there at those moments. But as soon as there is any trying to have understanding or trying to be aware, then it's not right effort at all. Or trying to know visible object, that's not right effort.
What is more interesting, the dream world or the world of truth? The dream world is Italy. But the world of truth is no Italy.
Sarah just mentioned that as a wrong effort if we try to know visible object. And how about a right effort which knows or will know a visible object?
Does effort not arise now?
While listening, that's right.
How many jitas are there with effort? See?
Yeah, how many a day? Not so many. But now we have opportunity.
I mean that how many jittas are there with effort and without effort?
Uncountable.
53? Pardon?
But more of his wrong effort. There are more akus than jittas.
See that if we just remember the number without understanding, it's useless. So there is question like this, whether there is effort or not. But when it's the understanding of reality, not just number, then we know at this time. We don't have to ask for effort. It's there. And we know which moment has no effort with it.
We don't have to think so much about it.
But to know that why realities are different, because of conditions, not I can do or I can have or why can't I have. But by understanding, one knows that not self at all, at any time, by conditions. For instance, someone might think that I have to have effort. See, there is effort already with citta, so we don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
This is why Buddha taught in details. So, which citta doesn't have effort?
Seeing.
And?
Hearing.
And?
Well.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and what else? If you know the 18 citta without hetu, then there can be the understanding why only two of them have the effort with it. What are these two? Manodhuvara Vachanasi and Hasitupatha. See, because otherwise we cannot understand the way dhammas work in a day. Like seeing does not need effort at all. Hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, even the citta before it, the panchaduvara vachana, the adverting consciousness, by conditions, see, accident. If we think in the term of Dhamma, not like we used to say accident, but when we use the word accident in worldly meaning, it means also happens by conditions too. But they do not understand what conditions such accident. But the accident of the seeing, see, the eye base, which hasn't fallen away yet, and that which can impinge on it, which does not fallen away yet, can condition, see, the karma which has been done long, long time ago, which we don't know which one, condition the moment of seeing just that particular visible object which impinged on the eyeballs, see. As much as we can understand is that, now seeing is the result of a karma. But we don't know. But without all these conditions or ayatana by an other aspect, it arises. Who can stop its arising? Who can stop its falling away? Impossible. No need to have virya at all. By understanding this, we can see that the citta before these 10 and the citta after these 10, no need to have virya by conditions. But at moment of thinking, see, there must be virya to think about that which is object. Because there are so many memories of different realities from day to day, from time to time, from year to year. But it depends on that citta, manodhuvara vachana, the mind or adverting consciousness, it can think about 10 years ago, or 14, 15 years ago, see. So it takes, or it needs virya as its condition. Just to think about that, or anything, or any time of thinking is there. See, by understanding this, we can see that there is no self. The more we can understand dhammas, and we know more about with virya or without virya, see. And for the citta, the smiling citta of arahata, no need to talk about. But arahata can smile with that citta and also with the mahakriya, somanasa citta. But not with mahavipaka, see. And this can condition more and more understanding to become detached from taking any reality for self. Not just learn by numbers only, no thinking about that, but by understanding the way each citta is with what type of citta-sikas, it can condition moment of understanding that it's beyond control. So we can get closer and closer to understand the anattaness of everything naturally. Not with trying to sit or trying to concentrate or try to think about this or that. That is always yoga. And also with asava, after the moment of seeing, so forth.
Maeve or anyone, just in case there's any confusion about the Pali terms, when we talk about right effort of the Eightfold Path, it's called Samavayama, but this is just Virya Chetasika that Jan's talking about. So Vayama, Virya, it's the same. Just in that context, it's called Samavayama. So at any moment other than seeing and hearing and those other Ahetuka Chittas, Virya is there. So if the citta is kusala, it is right, it's not wrong. And if the object is reality, then it is samavayama, if it's understanding of reality.
And some people may doubt there must be more than 52 cetasikas because of different words, like virya, virinsi, and samavayama, and samapatthana. All these names are virya cetasika in different aspects. Is it now samavayama? Or just virya cetasika? Or virindriya? See? Yeah. Or sammapadana. See? Different aspects of just one cetasika.
It's also virya. Virya for chukusala, for kusala.
Yes.
Do you have kanti cetasika?
I remember reading somewhere that kanti can be akusala as well. Kanti, for example, like a cat waiting for its prey.
Today, is it called kanti?
It's cold, like you get up and have to wait to warm up, so there has to be patience, but it's not kusala patience, because it's tolerating that condition which one hasn't chosen. Yes, so it's tolerating, but a kusala when one finds it cold and one's just
No, I.
And what about when you say, I'm being very patient? Another example of a kusala patient.
Yeah.
Patience with a kusala. When it's an effort to be patient, then it's obviously not kusala patience.
So is it now sammavayama?
If there's kusala, it's samavayama.
Samavayama usually mean of the Eightfold Path.
If there's any awareness, then it's samavayama.
Well, any kusala is sama because it's right, it's good, but usually if it's right understanding of realities, is it samavayama used? So just because there's sati, like at moments of generosity or wise consideration, sati is there, even panya may be there, but one wouldn't use samavayama in that context, just kusala virya.
Mm-hmm.
Satipatthana.
At moment of dana, is it sammavayama?
No.
See?
Perhaps Sarah or John or others can refresh my memory about what Ajahn said about Vinaya, including the meaning of the word Vinaya, which was relevant, if I recall correctly.
You are of Jonathan?
Or Ajahn. So I think I just break it down. But first of all, he said that he had heard you saying that Sila Vinaya can be understood in terms of conventional behavior.
I think that if you think that these people say this and that people say that, or Tipitaka said this, what about the understanding after have heard that or have read that? See, this is more important than thinking about who said this person or that person. So, now are we talking about Vinaya or what?
Now we're talking about Vinaya.
Okay, what it's meant.
What we're talking about is...
What is Vinaya, Khun Roberta?
I'm not sure about
the meaning of Vinaya, translate. Literary meaning, Vinaya.
The guide, being guided.
Kunhang, yes.
I think that Vinaya is the rules for monk. The meaning, I don't know.
Yeah, she mentioned it.
Do you remember?
But I forgot.
Oh.
No condition for Sanya to remember.
Like control or something like that? Control? Or eradication, Vinaya, Dhamma, bringing out Kilesa. Vinaya is the Dhamma, bringing out Kilesa.
Right?
The Dhamma.
It's Dhamma, bringing out Kilesa, mm-hmm. Vinaya.
So, Vinaya is Dhamma, and Dhamma is Vinaya. Without Dhamma, how can the Kilesa brought out that? So, by behaviors with citta. Because when citta is akusala, the body and the speech are akusala, sila. Because what's the meaning of sila again?
Varita sila, varita sila, and charita
sila. Varita sila is abstaining from ill deeds, but sila is more than that. It is also... It can be kusala sila, good behavior through body and speech, but also through mind.
But sila in general just means manners or behavior.
So the way the manner of the body is, or the manner of speech is conditioned by citta. That's why there are akusala sila when citta is akusala, and it is kusala sila when citta is kusala, and when citta is apayagata, it is apayagata sila. Usually we talk about the second one, the kusala sila, but actually there must be the akusala sila and apayagata sila, because all the manners and ways it is must be conditioned by citta. So we can tell citta from manners, or the way the body or speech is. Otherwise, no way to know whether citta is kusala or akusala. Like sitting now, kusala or akusala?
Listening to Dhamma.
But...
there's some kind of sitting, a kind of restraint in the way one's sitting, because we're not just lying around and...
That's the way it is, that is sila.
Yeah.
So, what's monk? and what's lay people.
It's really just different degrees of the same thing, because for conventional lay people there's also manners, politeness, and that sort of thing, which are observed to a greater or lesser degree.
And monks?
And monks are more strict.
Yes,
more specific.
Yeah.
In what way more strict?
Well, if there's a breach by the monk, then it constitutes...
Not yet. What's the difference? Akusla is exactly the same.
Hmm.
Kusala is exactly the same.
Yes.
Degree of akusala.
Like what? At moment of eating, what degree of monks kusala and what degree of lay people are kusala?
Well, for lay people, there are conventions regarding manner of eating, but for monks, it is more specific and, as I say, I would call it stricter, because the observances are generally more restrained.
And not only eating, what about wearing?
Yeah, I just gave eating as an example.
And wearing. What about wearing?
Yeah, well.
Wearing the robe, you mean?
Yeah, the akusala citta of a monk and of a layman. What's the difference? Is there any difference?
Not really. And like running, the monk is not supposed to run because that's usually with loba.
Right. Walking.
And teasing other people, making jokes, what kind of citta. So if you think, consider the citta, it's really the same when it's akusala, when it is with attachment. It is with attachment, no matter for monk or lay people. But when we read all those rules in the Vinaya, it reminds us, for us lay people, it's very useful to know. Otherwise we wouldn't think of that making jokes and teasing or eating in a special way, which is not so nice, that is already akusala citta.
So... why does one become monk?
To lead a life leading to arahatship, to perfect, to be perfect, and eradicate all kilesa. Not that every monk has eradicated kilesa, but by all these rules that remind him when the citta is kusala and when akusala.
Do you want to attain arahata too?
Do I want to attend? I don't think so far away yet.
What about lay monks who hasn't been arahata yet?
I think
like you, like us here.
Yeah. Sotapanna would be enough for us.
Some monks might think like this too, but the aim should be not only attaining sotapanna.
All kilesa are dangerous.
So what's the difference between monk's thought and our thinking?
The danger of all kinds of kilesa, even the most subtle ones.
Because today I think that only just wanting to be a monk, then that person become a monk, which is not the right purpose of becoming a monk at all.
Yeah.
So what is really... a monk.
So I guess it's someone who has accumulated kusala enough to lead successfully the monk's life to aim at the arahantship.
It must be the person who has accumulated the understanding of the elimination of akusala through body and speech and also mind enough to lead that life. Otherwise it's impossible. Who just want only three pieces of rope? Bhakti who wants only three pieces of cloth or robe. See? So it has to be so great accumulation of those who think that it should be that way for me, see, not for the others. No one forces a person to have such thinking at all. So before we can talk about any rules or monk's way of living, we should know who's monk. Otherwise, we cannot see the difference at all between lay people, because lay people can also attain enlightenment. And no plate, only bowl for everything.
Yes, it has to be the person who can live naturally and easily, right, that way of life.
Right.
Because if it's not, if one can't live naturally and easily that way of life, then there would just be more and more disturbance, like always wishing one had a computer and more clothes and more dishes and a better facilities in the cell and all these things and books like other people and one's personal library.
So is this the sense in which Vinaya brings out Kilesa?
In the beginning, no rules at all, just like lay people. But the intention is different, because to be monk, to what you call samana, the peaceful person that who does not want anything else except the understanding and the very simple life. So if the mother would tell her son to be ordained, that's not right. Or if the son just want to have his mother kusala or pleasantness so that person become monk, that's not right. So it has to be one's own accumulation, which only that person can know whether that person can live that life or not. If it's impossible, he can study and he can do anything naturally, because no matter monks or lay people have to live naturally in order to understand the conditioned reality of each moment.
And it has to also be the one who can easily cut relations from family and friends too, because to live that life, like for example, some people can maybe live very simply but still want a lot of contact with their family or something.
So you were asking earlier, Ajahn, whether the gosala of the monk is any different from the gosala of the layperson.
Yeah.
What's the answer to that question?
Because the robe doesn't protect one from having a gosala.
The gosala of the monk can bring more serious consequences than the gosala of the layperson.
It against his will to be a monk.
This thread that Sarah's quoted from arose from a question that one member asked another. The question was, what is the purpose for the Buddha to have laid down prohibition on monks for having sex and something else, I forget what it was. And the answer given was that a monk's daily life is meant to be a description of the arahant's life, so it can't have any outward signs of good or bad karma. Is it correct to say that the monk's life is supposed to emulate the life of an arahant?
Even that person doesn't say that I'd like to be an arahata, but why do we study real and in order to understand realities right now? Why do we do this?
To have more understanding and to have less abusala.
Okay. From stage to stage. Do you mind being an arahata? Do you mind being an arahata?
not ready.
Not enough understanding to know.
Too much attachment.
Before understanding, you think that, oh, all right, I'd like very much to be, right? Without knowing anything about kilesa, defilements at all, just wish or want to be like that, without knowing who is an arahata. Not just who wants to be, but who develops understanding to have the eradication of akusala stage by stage until all kilesas are eradicated completely, absolutely. So even right now, even we don't say that I would like to be an arahata, but what is the aim or the goal of having less and less kilesa? See?
And at other times you've made the comment that everything in the teachings points towards development of awareness and understanding. And some for some people it's difficult to reconcile that with the Vinaya, which is on the face of it is about behavior and the way one acts. So could you say a bit about that, please?
Did people in the Buddha's time know nothing at all about now? Did they just become monk without any understanding?
No, they had already well-developed understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what's the question?
The question is whether the Vinaya should be seen as rules about behavior or whether they are also part of the teaching about developing understanding.
What for? Both reasons.
Both reasons.
If there is no understanding, nothing to lessen the kilesa, right?
Right. So it's all tied up together. As you said, the purpose of the monk's life is to eradicate all kilesa.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vinaya is just part of the training for that.
Because they still have kilesa.
Yes. And you also said Vinaya means to bring out kilesa. So by having these rules of training, kilesa become apparent.
To make them realize
otherwise
their aim.
Apparent.
Yeah.
Mm.
We have spoken a lot in the past about vitakka, and I found it particularly useful when, I think it was in Poland, you were speaking of vitakka as touching the object, bending towards the object, leading the cetasika to the object.
I think that there cannot be any word which can explain vitakka as clear as it is. As much as we can understand is that. Usually people translate vitakka as thinking, right? Because that can be moment of beginning to understand what vitakka's function is. For example, we have to think very carefully too. Like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, these 10 jitas do not have vitakka. They can rest by conditions like 7 jetasikas. But after that, the next one needs vitakka because it cannot see. But it can touch after pasa, contact, see, in order to have that object, the visible object as is. Object, even it cannot see, it does not see. And at that moment, it's not thinking in words at all, just having visible object which hasn't fallen away yet after the moment of seeing, only that. So that is the function of vitakka, not contact, but vitakka, just touch, together with vichara. And who can understand the characteristic of vitakka and vichara? And?
The gay disciples.
And?
Depending on conditions.
But the question is who? Yes. The condition.
Well-developed panya. Well-developed panya.
Not me.
So who?
Not the person.
No, panya.
What level of citta if it's not a person?
Well, I think panya has to be really developed.
Yes, panya of what level?
High level.
What stage of?
Vipassana jnana.
No, not like that at all.
Let's try a few more.
Do you? Can you know a moment of dosa right now? Yes, why not? Nimitta of dosa. It means that dosa is still there. When there is more nimitta of dosa.
Maybe. Just a little uneasiness because we are thinking of the answer or we have doubt and we are not sure when you ask which level. Can be a little uneasy feeling. So a little, just a little dosa, not really anger.
But it can be known, right?
That can, yeah.
But can vitakka be known?
The Buddha taught us, and that means...
At the moment when dosa appear, can the vitakka be known?
Then dosa is more predominant. And vitakka, not
so
at the same
ordinary
time.
Ordinary people can know dosa and sometimes lobha, but what moment can someone know vitakka?
When they're thinking of stories, once upon a time, that is a way.
The development of jhana, see?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because if there's no understanding for this, the right object for a peace to arise, or tranquility can arise, it's impossible.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
From at that moment when that is just the beginning of the development of samatha, the vitakka is not known as clear, right? Because of the concentration or the tranquility is not reached that degree that it can understand. But after attaining the first jhana, see, it's after that there is a moment of what you call reveal the characteristic of vitakka and vichara and all the jhana's factors. So we can see that it's not easy at all to attain that degree of tranquility, because the characteristic of vitakka vichara is clear at that moment. Otherwise, there cannot be the review moment of the jhana factors. But still, it's not at level of panya of the degree that it can understand reality as not self. That's why these are the two different ways of development.
Ajahn, could you say a bit more about the difference between the understanding of the characteristic of vitakka by the jhana attainer and the understanding of the characteristic of that mental factor by in terms of the development of path?
The vipassana?
Yes. I mean, apart from the not self factor, but the characteristic of the mental factor as touching the object, is that experienced in the same way by both the jhana attainer?
Not at all.
No. So
otherwise, those who attained jhana before Buddha's enlightenment could become enlightened.
Right. So in what sense does the jhana attainer experience the characteristic of vitakka?
Say it again.
In what sense does the jhana attainer experience the characteristic of vitakka?
Not the satipatthana at all. No pariyati about realities which appears now. So how can there be the development of understanding of reality right now as no self?
But is it the visesa lakana that the jhana attainer experiences?
The factor of vitakka is abandoned at the second jhana. There's no need anymore to think of the meditation subject because his concentration is so advanced, and that's why he has to know what vitakka is, otherwise that factor could not be abandoned.
I appreciate that, but my question is really, when he knows what vitakka is,
when he knows what vitakka is and he sees the disadvantage in it,
yes,
this is nothing to do with satipatthana. So we talk about realities as having a unique characteristic and then the general characteristics of an anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Yeah, yeah.
Now obviously the jhana attainer doesn't experience the anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Yeah.
Does he experience the visesa lakana?
Visesa lakana?
Mm.
Is now anyone know visesa lakana of dosa?
No.
No.
But the jhana attainer, you said he...
Like that anyone who know that moment of lopa is different from moment of dosa, that's all.
So the nimitta of vitakka, which is known actually by the jhana attainers?
It depends on whether that jhana has nimitta or not. We have to study by many means or ways of jhana, with nimitta or without nimitta, too.
And the jhana attainer, for example, let's say the second jhana attainer, if that is the basis for enlightenment immediately afterwards, then it's a sevenfold, not an eightfold path at that moment, because I think no need then for samasankappa, no need for vitakka when jhana is the basis, if it is second jhana upwards. Is that correct? This is what I've read.
About?
This is the number of
factors.
Eightfold path factors. If jhana is the basis for enlightenment immediately before, if it's first jhana as basis, then eightfold path factors as usual. But if it's second jhana upwards, where vitakka is not necessary for the attainment of jhana, then when enlightenment occurs immediately afterwards with nibbana's object, then also no need for vitakka. So actually, yeah, sevenfold, not
eightfold. That's why there are 40 lokuttara cittas.
Right. That's why it's different.
Yes,
40.
Yeah. Instead of eight.
Right.
Because of the five jhanas.
Five jhanas, yes. So the factors are different. And just hopping back to the second part of Phil's message and about Nina's comment in the van about not eating so much, and his comment is that oh, well, we use conventional language and we give people reminders like not eating too much, but sometimes people forget that even when we speak like this or talk about the Dharma, or talk about the Vinaya, it's still just Dharma. So no matter what language is used, no matter whether it's misunderstanding or not, it's still about Dharma. So just because we give a reminder to someone to eat healthily or to follow certain rules of behavior or tell children how to behave or how not to disturb the dogs or whatever it is, still just Dharmas.
Yeah, yeah. There's another example about the alley walk, that the monk has to stretch and walk for his health. Also that factor is stressed in the suttas.
And what is meant by not eating too much?
We know when we have an extra plateful and we are not hungry anymore.
For monks or for everyone?
It's for everyone.
I think his point was like we talk about only dharmas and only now and anatta and no control, and then when we give each other reminders like, oh, maybe don't eat too much or behave in this way or that, it sounds like it's a contradiction.
I think that it's in the teachings, in the sutta, but not in the Vinaya about eating too much.
Yes, yes. The king who ate too much, and he was then so sleepy, and he was reminded by the Buddha the sleepiness which is induced by eating too much. Then you can't listen to Dhamma when you are sleepy.
It's two plates, too much. One dish or two dish or
it's
many
not
dishes.
The amount, yeah. But he was that's a certain why. King. Was complaining.
That's why it's not in the Vinaya, but we can talk about anyone. Don't eat too much.
Still leave room for two or three mouthfuls, I think it says.
Somewhere in the teachings it describes how the Buddha eats. In moderation.
Sariputta.
And it mentions that he finishes eating when there's still room for a small number of mouthfuls of food left. So rather than specify the amount to be eaten, it's at what point does the eating stop?
Room for a drink of water.
Room for a drink of water.
There's a saying in Holland. You should eat, but there should still be room for one pancake with bacon. The old saying.
A very modern interpretation of leave room for a glass of water.
So that it is just right.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be full of that.
I was taught that way.
Yeah. If you are not forgetful.
Yes.
I often remember that, but doesn't seem to make any difference.
Little by little.
Yeah. You can
one
never
knows.
Be too skinny or too rich.
One knows for oneself when one's eaten too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Point is like now we're talking about eating too much or too little, and it seems like it's all conventional language, and we may remind each other not to eat so much or something like this, but it doesn't mean it's forgetting about dharmas. It's still just all dharmas when we talk like this. So just because one's heard about paramatta dharmas doesn't mean that one just speaks about paramatta dharmas. As we're raising Phil's questions, he's got another one which he particularly would like your comments on, and he says it's probably a yoke question. he was interested to hear in a talk at Ivan's funeral that when there is understanding, clinging ends sooner. He's not interested in how to have this, that is beyond control, but he's interested in knowing how understanding performs the function of clinging ending sooner. He guesses it's with the understanding, with understanding and a loba. If Ajahn is willing to say more, he'd like to hear this, but he thinks that your answer will always be, who wants to know?
And what is meant by sooner?
Quickly.
I don't know, he just said that this is what he heard on the recording, so I presume it meant that he heard you saying clinging ends sooner, but I don't know.
Me? Or someone? Or it doesn't matter who?
Doesn't matter who. He just said he heard on this talk.
Yeah.
That when
but what does it mean?
Clinging ends
sooner. What does it mean
sooner?
Well, it could mean anything. So without.
Without the context, it's a bit difficult to know. Does it mean that the person attains enlightenment sooner? Or does it mean that when clinging arises on a given occasion, that it doesn't last as long as it would otherwise have lasted?
I'm wondering if it means what we were talking about earlier, that the more understanding, the more there is understanding, the more there is panya, leads to less attachment. That's probably what it means.
As soon as it arises.
That's got something to do with patience and lopa.
Because whenever there is kusala moment, there is no akusala moment. As soon as kusala arises.
At that moment, there's the ending. Yeah.
Yeah. There is no more akusala at that moment.
Right. And another question from another friend who teaches Abhidharma in Malaysia. He's looked in several dictionaries and they all translate Vatapana as determining, and he agrees with us that it's also misleading, because he said that he was very misled into thinking that somehow a self determines a kusala or akusala at that point or something when he first heard about it. So his question to us is there any more appropriate translation that could be used of Vatapana for Vatapana?
I think that literally it means that the chavana patipadaka, the meaning of Vatapana is chavana patipadaka. You know the meaning of patipadaka?
So, paving the way for chavana.
Chavana is kusala and akusala.
Yeah.
It cannot just arise after vipaka, sampatichana santarina. So this reality of this citta is the javana patipataka, is the particular, what you call it, base or...
Footing or something like that.
I don't know the meaning. Because there is the Pali term chavana pati pataka, and pata is foot. It means that it arises before, without it. Especially this particular citta has to arise before javana. That's why it is javana pati pataka, just right before the arising of javana. Otherwise javana cannot arise at all. So what is the literal meaning of chavana patipataka?
Yeah,
Patti is special, particular.
Yeah.
Patti and Pataka is the foot or the base.
Yeah, it's like the foothold or the foot, the base, the foothold for kusala or akusala.
It means that without it,
mm-hmm.
kusala and akusala cannot arise at all. So it is a particular citta which has to be before.
Maybe the footprint of the javana, print of the footfall.
It's more like a pathway, place.
Because it gives the footprint of, maybe it's about the, it gives the footprint, it is the footprint of the javana which follows. So the shape of the...
Usually a footprint is something left behind though.
Yeah,
so
but
we wouldn't use
footprint. If you see the footprint, you can see... you see a footprint, you can say yes, this is...
But the kusala and kusala hadn't don't come yet.
Yeah.
It's the footing,
but
the foundation.
Yeah.
Foot.
Okay. Yes.
Foundation.
Foothold.
Yeah.
Foothold.
Foothold,
yeah.
Yeah.
Foothold for
that's
javana.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Like the place to put the foot.
I see.
That's the literal
like
meaning of it.
If you see the jeep where we went
so,
a bunch
so
of time, it had
you mean that so that kusala can't step on?
Yeah.
What?
It
what?
Leads, meaning it leads to.
It leads to.
Well, that could be a pathway. Footway.
More
pathway.
Pathway. Pathway. Mm-hmm. Because usually I think that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the literal meaning is like footing, the one where it's a step for the next one to follow.
Foundation,
like a foundation.
Usually, patta is that which arises before, so that the next
can follow.
So the Pali ways of speaking or the way it is different from the other Thai way of speech. The way of speech is quite different. But it's very beautiful when it's translated into Thai. Very, very beautiful. But the meaning is different. Because for those people who understand, can understand better. But we just get the way we think.
By having this citta and explaining that it has to be the foothold or it has to be the citta that arises before kusala or akusala is because after the vipaka cittas, the seeing the sampatichana, the santirana, then there has to be this citta which is this citta before the kusala or akusala can arise. There has to be this kiriya citta in between.
Yeah, in Thai language, I explain as it makes way for javana to arise.
And is the reason that it makes way for the javana cittas to arise, kusala akusala cittas to arise, because after the vipaka citta there has to be this citta, there has to be a citta, a kiriya citta that makes way.
Otherwise the vipaka keeps on going, but
yes.
Since the vipaka is ended at the santirana,
yes.
No more vipaka, so this kiriya citta makes
way
just
right.
To arise and makes way for javana to arise.
And another vipaka citta couldn't do that,
right.
Couldn't perform that function.
But I don't know whether it fit the Pali term.
I think so.
The meaning is, but the javana patipataka, the particular citta which makes way. Without it, kusala or akusala cannot arise at all. Like Panchatuvara Vachana, it is Viti Patipataka Manasikara. So there are three kinds of Manasikara: the Aramana Patipataka Manasikara, Viti Patipataka Manasikara, and Chavana Patipataka Manasikara. The usual Manasikara Chetasika is Aramana Patipataka Manasikara. This is about three words with Manasikara: Aramana Patipataka Manasikara, Viti Patipataka Manasikara, and Chavana Patipataka Manasikara. Only the first one is Manasikara Chetasika. The second one is the Panchatvara Vachana, and the third one is Manodvara Vachana.
And so when we're talking about the Panchatvara Vachana Chitas, we're also saying it is Viti Patipataka.
It makes way for other Viti Chitta to arise.
Right, so for seeing and the Vipaka Chitas that follow it makes way.
Right now, just now,
and
everything.
Why Manasikara, the Chetasika, which is Aramana Patipataka, why in this sense is it referred to as Patipataka when it's just referring to the Chetasika Manasikara?
Because there must be Manasikara all the time, but when Manasikara is there, one can see that characteristic.
But in what sense is it making way when it's just...
for Aramana to appear.
I see. So can we say this is the function of Manasikara to make way for the Aramana to appear to the Chitta and other Chitta seekers?
Each of these Chitta seekers are so very specific in their meaning, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is what you mean by, I think, like just studying every word, knowing what the words mean. I mean, mm-hmm. we can run through, oh, yeah, this, the jitta. But the different meanings is very, very specific.
And very, very deep, too.
Like we learn that Manasikara is one of the seven chitta seekers that arises with every chitta, and it's translated as attention.
Yes.
But what does it mean? So
yes.
studying the details, this is why Jan says it's not just sort of, as you say, running through and learning the numbers, but what is Manasikara? So this meaning of making way for the Aramana, the object, to appear to Chitta and other Chitta seekers. That's an interesting aspect of Manasikara.
Mm.
And it also links up why these three meanings all are referring to making way, what they have in common.
And why it has to be there with each Chitta.
Because if there wasn't any Chitta seeker making way, then the object couldn't appear. So the visible object couldn't appear to seeing, no objects could appear. Just like if there wasn't the sensed or averting consciousness, the Panchadwara Vajana, then the object couldn't appear to the cheetahs in the process, there couldn't be the making way.
It's like now, what object is appearing? Even right now, there is visible object, but what object appears? The flowers, or this or that?
Depends, yes, what is reverted mm-hmm. to at each moment and on what is made way for.
And one hears about, for example, like a
heard talk about these three kinds of Manasikara dozens and dozens of times, but each time it makes a little bit more sense.
Right.
But like when one hears about Vitaka,
yeah.
just each time makes a little bit more sense, but actually one has to hear and consider a lot for it to really begin to make sense. And then when you say, well, yes, lots of seeing, lots of hearing now, but what appears, then to understand the link to now, what is meant by...
And the appearance of it, it's different as it appeared to Sinsta and as it appeared to Maida. See, the details is more than we think.
I think pati is not always particular. It depends so on the context.
In Bali.
Yes.
Like that is different. That is pati, not pati.
Or that's again different.
I just start off by giving a little review of the three kinds of manasikara according to my very limited understanding, because one or two people were asking and getting confused. So the first kind of manasikara referred to is manasikara, the chetasika, and it's called here, when we talk about three kinds of manasikara, it's referred to as aramana patipatika manasikara, aramana object patipatika manasikara. And we were discussing how patipatika means leading the way, and the reason manasikara is referred to as patipatika or leading the way is because the object of the citta and citta seekers needs manasikara to lead to that object, and this is the function of manasikara. So this is why it's referred to as aramana patipatika manasikara.
Sorry, the translation there is manasikara leading the way to the object.
Leading to
making way for the object
to appear to citta and citta seekers. Making way, right. And the second kind of manasikara is called javana patipatika manasikara. So it's making...
The second one is viti.
Oh, second one viti, the third one javana. Viti patipatika manasikara. So it's making way for the cittas in the viti process to experience the object. So the citta, which makes way for that object to appear for the cittas in the process, is the sense door averting consciousness, the panchadwara vajana citta. So before seeing can see visible object, after the bhavanga cittas, it needs one citta, it needs the sense door averting consciousness to arise to make way for the object to appear to those cittas in the process. So that's why it's called viti patipatika manasikara. And the third one, which we started talking about, is javana patipatika manasikara, because it makes way for the cittas, the kusala and akusala cittas, to experience the object. And in the mind door process, the citta which makes way for kusala or akusala cittas to experience the object is the manodwara vajana citta, the mind door averting consciousness. And this is just one kiriya citta without hetu, without roots. So it just is one citta that's necessary to arise for those kusala and akusala cittas to follow. Nothing special about it other than that. And in the sense door process, it performs the function of votapanna. So this is why it's referred to as the votapanna citta. But it's the citta before the kusala or akusala cittas in the sense door process. And this is the javana patipatika manasikara. And again, it's often translated in English as determining, but in fact, it's just one kiriya citta without roots, nothing special about it. It's just one citta that makes way after the vipaka cittas of seeing Sampatichana, Santirana before the Kusala and Akusala cittas can arise. So those are three kinds of manasikara.
So the first kind is a jetasika,
yes.
And the second and third kinds are jittas.
Jittas.
And also in the mind, as I understood, in the mind of process, the manu vaya vachana citta is followed by jhamana, kusala and akusala. So that also is under that one of javana patipadaka, javana.
Arises before javana.
Yes.
And I don't know what word is better, to open the way to,
I
to make.
I would prefer in English, pave the way.
Pave
the way. To make it.
Pave the way.
Pave the way. Pave the way for vitichitta. Pave the way for kusala and akusala. And what about the first one?
Pave the way to know the aramana. To know the aramana. For the object to appear is a good one. Yeah.
To appear, well, without any understanding that the object appears at that moment, it's going to be misleading, whichever, unless there's any understanding of the dharmas, whatever way one translates.
Because it arises with citta, which is the chief of experiencing the object.
Makes the way or paves the way. It's
I think it's always good to talk about the paramis, the different ones. And this morning I was considering satya parami, the truthfulness. Because I said to Sarah, I'm concerned about a friend who doesn't appreciate, like you said, that kusala washes away akusala, or maybe not quite understand this. And that I was feeling concerned about him. And this is, I know the answer. It's a long story again. But I am concerned, and once upon a time, like a long story again, because it sounds very noble to say I'm so concerned about him, but when there is more understanding of the different cittas, it's understood that there is a lot of self again behind it.
Just for him or everyone? Just for your friend, for him, or everyone.
Yeah. Well, this was an opportunity or a condition just for that person, the way he spoke, to be concerned.
For everyone? Or for a particular one?
I was thinking of the particular person.
I think the point is that are we only just concerned for the person who is dear to us, like the one we're attached to, like my friend, or is it anyone who doesn't observe morality?
It depends whether the other person is talking in a way which makes one concerned or not.
Like now we are concerned for each of people here.
No, I'm not worrying because they're all listening to Dhamma.
I'm concerned for their understanding, you see?
Yeah.
Not for a particular person.
Yeah.
For anyone.
But I'm not worried. I was more thinking about being worried. When people are listening to Dhamma and understanding, develop understanding, no worry.
But you worry about a particular person?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And that is not metta.
It is more maybe with dosa.
Loba.
Yeah. And loba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you get an answer to your question?
Well, it was not really a question, mm-hmm. because I was considering it, that it is not so with kusala, really.
I see.
Yeah.
I think that Nina was aware that it was
the problem was the concern rather than. So I think that was. But I think she was also interested to help if someone seems not to appreciate the value of morality, how best to help? Is this your question also?
Yes, we have several friends, really, that we would like to help, but maybe we can't help. We don't know.
Can we help everyone?
Impossible.
Well, I suppose it's
natural to think we can help those who are interested in the Dhamma, even if they do have some ideas that, like the example Nina given of the person who doesn't appear to have much regard for.
What about the others? All others.
Right. But as you say, people who are not interested in Dhamma, it's difficult to help them in any meaningful way, but those that are interested, then perhaps they're likely to be more receptive. So I guess that's why Nina's interested in these particular friends, because they are Dhamma friends.
But it
doesn't really take the point. It doesn't really make any difference whether they're Dhamma friends or not.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has limited understanding,
yes,
as we do. Tell him something about the hell planes, Nina.
Anyway, I think the general point was whether or not someone has interest in Dharma or doesn't, or whatever, is, you know, when we're concerned about this person because it's our friend or our Dharma friend or our family member, rather than just helping whenever one has an opportunity. It's, as John said, it's not metta, because it's motivated by attachment or worry.
You said you would like to hear more about the paramis and
Satchaparami in particular. Yeah, we always like to hear more about the paramis, Satchaparami, but also the other ones.
So
it's always very useful.
Yeah, what paramis are there now?
Is Chanda a parami? No. Virya is, right?
Kanti.
Yeah.
Yes. Adhidhana. This
and
is
then Dhana Parami as well?
Yes. Giving Dhamma.
Yes.
Dhamma.
Dhamma Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like you give.
Like you anyone give.
Yeah.
And Sila Parami, all paramis, yeah.
All paramis,
yeah.
Because if we neglect any, it's not good. Nothing should be neglected,
but
not one of them.
It's there, without understanding, that it's already here and now.
Yeah. Upeka.
Mm-hmm. For your friend.
Panyabara.
Yes, all ten.
But we.
If Buddha didn't tell us, we don't know that now there are parami.
Yes, but it has to be with a right understanding, and when it is so weak or not, or absent.
Yeah. Like seeing now, it's not self, see?
Yeah.
If Buddha didn't tell us, who knows?
Yes.
So everything is told.
And how nekama parami can be understood?
Any kusala is nekama.
And in what way is it different from other paramis?
Why do we come to understand the teachings? What for?
For nikamma, for detachment.
Have less ignorance.
Nekama, renunciation, because at each moment of kusala, there's giving up of akusala, giving up of attachment at that moment. And when it's parami, with understanding, it's giving up attachment and ignorance at that moment of understanding. So that's why nekama is developed with understanding. Renouncing of sense pleasure at each moment of kusala.
The 10 of them arise together, but I guess at each moment some aspects are more predominant.
When there is panya, it is parami. At moment of giving away things, is there any understanding of no self? But it can, even so, it can condition giving.
And no understanding of reality, but conditioned by understanding. That's why it's the difference between metta parami and metta, which is not parami.
Metta, only metta with understanding is considered as parami, right?
Panya motivate all kinds of kusala.
It also means you don't expect anything for yourself, not for, but to have less kilesa is the motive for the ban.
Because metta can arise with or without panya, but even if it arises with panya, the object is still being, so it's still not, the object is still not reality, but it's understanding of realities which motivates metta of all kinds. So that's when it's metta parami, because it's conditioned by right understanding of realities, even though it arises at a different moment. And the same with dana.
Sorry, so are we making a distinction here between metta conditioned by panya of satipatthana and metta accompanied by panya? Are you making that distinction?
I'm making just because panya is accompanied by, like before the Buddha's time, those who developed samatha, metta accompanied by panya, but not understanding of realities, so it's not metta parami. So it can only be metta, the parami, when it's motivated or conditioned by panya, the understanding of realities, satipatthana, or pre-satipatthana, but understanding of realities.
It would still be accompanied by metta.
What would be accompanied by metta?
In the situation you're talking about of conditioned by...
Yes.
Accompanied by panya.
Can be accompanied by panya, but not cannot be accompanied at that moment it arises by satipatthana,
right,
because the object is different. Right. Same with dana. So it's the satipatthana, the understanding of realities, that motivates that dana,
yeah,
or metta.
And the metta
can or must be accompanied by panya. At that moment, the metta that's conditioned by panya satipatthana, could it be with or without?
Can we say
panya?
At any level of panya?
Mm-hmm.
But it's accompanied by any level of panya, metta or the dana.
Any moment.
Accompanied by sounds more comfortable than using the word motivated by.
Conditioned.
I think what Ajahn is saying, that understanding. We don't even have to use the word satipatthana, but any understanding of realities, like now, understanding of realities, that any right understanding that conditions that metta, whether it's with or without any understanding, any good deeds or any metta, is parami. Is that correct?
It's right now. Is it parami now or not parami now? See?
I would say if it's understanding of reality, it is parami.
What kusala is now?
Like,
any. Yeah.
But it's in the context. It's in the context of talking about understanding, developing the path, so presumably it's...
What about the Bodhisattva's previous life before becoming enlightened? Or with Panya, or not all? A company. But motivated.
Yeah.
Or conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioned by Panya, but not always accompanied by Panya. Is
mm-hmm.
right? Yes, because when he was an animal, I don't know whether he had Panya when he was an animal.
We have to think
he was a wise animal, though.
We have to think of moment to moment, each
yes.
moment.
Any kusala conditioned by understanding, and in his previous life, I mean, no vipassana jnana is attained, so any right understanding of realities which conditions any kind of kusala.
So who knows who has accumulated parami, to what degree? Only Buddha knew. Can we just say that parami is any kusala moments which will lead to enlightenment?
In your book about the perfections, I think it is stated that kusala, such as dana, if it's not motivated by the understanding that it is for the sake of eradication of all defilements, then is not considered a parami. Is that
what is not?
If, for example, kusala, which is not motivated by the understanding that is it for the eradication of defilements.
But is there no accumulation of understanding at all in that citta, even once upon a time?
But, for example, if someone gives in order to be reborn in heaven, for example, would that be considered a parami? No.
No. Because you are wishing
something, some benefit for yourself.
Yes.
And
it's not parami.
Thinking of having less defilements.
The adipati.
Yes, I come to the tree.
Only Dhamma Atipatai would be.
So, can we know now whether it is parami or not?
Based on what we've just been saying, if there is kusala now, then it would be parami, because it is
mm-hmm.
for the sake of developing.
See, even it is parami, but we think about it. But it is.
I did not quite get it, that we think about it, it is parami, or...
We think about whether there is parami now and so on, and what kind of parami, whether it's parami or not, something
it's
like that.
Thinking stories again. Yes.
But if you would say parami is kusa, which will lead to enlightenment, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we think about it. We need to think about it because there is still not sufficient understanding to know.
Is that right?
Like seeing sees, we don't know that it's not me.
That's right.
So if someone, for example, who listened to the Dhamma also, but he hasn't yet understood the danger of being reborn again and again and of defilements, then can it...
Like now, does anyone see the danger of being born again and again and again?
I don't think so. We still cling to being reborn. Yeah, not so far yet.
So it's not true when one says that I don't want to be born again. It's not right at all. Just for that moment, I don't want to live anymore, but or to be born again. But actually, when there's no understanding of the danger of seeing right now, thinking right now, hearing right now, the arising of any reality right now, it's not the moment of seeing the danger of not of being born again. That's why Buddha taught a lot in order to have such moment of tending to that point. So dangerous, useless. Why just to see when the object appears and disappears and never come back? So why do we have to see again and again and again that which cannot stay long at all? But as seeing now doesn't harm anyone, no dangerous at all. Only one can see that it just arises by conditions. No matter there is wanting to see or not, it has to arise.
There's bhava, tanha, we cling to... Mm-hmm. Exist or to be born again, see again, hear again. We cling to all that again and again and don't realize that there has to be death also when there are rebirths and death again and again. So we don't see the danger.
Of going to have food again. See, it's a must.
You said a moment ago something like, did we want to be born again? Do we want to be here? And I was thinking, well, I've thought, no, I don't want to continue on in life. But you're pointing to anatta by saying...
To this moment.
To this, but which is full of lopa. So there is clinging to,
no
even
idea.
Though we can say... Oh,
at
no,
this
I don't
moment,
want.
No idea of not want to see again at all.
Right, and so that's the anatta. That's
so it's not seeing the danger of the arising and falling away of it.
Very subtle.
Not only seeing, it brings more than that. Attachment and story.
Mm.
Can we say now we are a writer? Writer.
Mm-hmm. Writing our story.
Mm-hmm. All the
Peter
time.
Writing
the story of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Come as the painter or something like that. Yeah.
I liked your story of the factory. It's the point about
the paramis, and if one appreciates now that what's important is just understanding of realities and thereby any kusala is parami, but as Tam defined paramis, any kusala which will, it paramis only any kusala which will lead to enlightenment, but
how we can say other kinds of kusala in life, like moments of dana and metta, will lead to enlightenment just by way of supporting the understanding.
Yeah, will it or will it not?
Sorry?
Will it or will it not lead to enlightenment? It depends. You see
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah. So only that which will lead to enlightenment is parami.
But I thought you were saying that any kusala is...
which will lead to
only
enlightenment.
Only that which will lead to enlightenment. So if one hasn't in this lifetime, if someone doesn't have any interest in the teachings, who knows, maybe in another lifetime they may have, but if they haven't any interest in the teachings in this lifetime, one can't say any of the kusala is parami.
So we that kusala cannot lead to
enlightenment.
So it's not parami.
Parami.
The easiest way to understand parami is any kusala which will lead to enlightenment is parami.
Yeah. And like you said before, really only a Buddha could know, like in the past lives as an elephant or as a monkey, who could know that that kusala is parami, only a Buddha. No.
Because you see that the understanding is there as foundation for any product of kusala.
For any kusala performed and for the purpose of that kusala.
Even we don't know, like the elephant, the life, one life of Buddha, see, parami. But not our elephant. That's why we call Bodhisatta.
We've gone through a lot of meanings of words this morning, so what does Bodhisatta mean?
Body means enlightenment, and sattva, being.
Being.
So, the being who is enlightened, who...
Will be enlightened.
Right?
Well, sometimes they say that's time for enlightenment, or due to enlightenment, because of all the paramis developed an aeons that he will once attain enlightenment.
Or we can say that the satta who is concerned for enlightenment. All we are doing, like Kunina writes books, many books, she's going to write one with about what?
The cycle of birth and death.
No, you are going to write a book about the right now. She is going to write a new one.
Yes.
Once upon a time.
That can be the title of one chapter.
Yeah. See, concern for enlightenment. Yeah.
But Jonathan, he's helping so much, setting up. This is heavy to carry.
Or concern for enlightenment.
Yeah. So, also Jonathan.
So. We can say that we are Savaka Bodhisatta because there are three kinds, Sammasambuddho Bodhisatta, Mahasatta, and Paccheka Bodhisatta, and Savaka Bodhisatta. But if you can attain Paccheka, you are not Savaka Bodhisatta.
Paccheka, and then the last one.
Savaka.
Mahasatta. Mahabodhisatta, which means Sammasambuddho.
Yeah.
What does Savaka mean?
Follower. Listener.
Right. So, what is Sawaka Sangho?
Sawaka is obviously, well, listening. Listener?
Yeah.
And hearer of the Dhamma. Sangho.
That's from the
recitation or from the attributes of the Sangha, right?
Yes.
Only Aryan Sangha.
Only the Aryan Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
So they have listened.
That is Ratana, the precious gem. So it has to be those who are enlightened.
So when you explain it in the sense of concerned about enlightenment, then you can see that there's Savaka Bodhisatta. But I've also heard the distinction between Savaka and Bodhisatta as being two different.
There are three kinds of ways. Bodhisatta.
Okay.
Not only the highest one.
Whether distinction is made, actually is made between the Savaka Bodhisatta and the Buddha Bodhisatta, right?
There cannot be just Sammasambuddho without Savaka. Without the listeners, can there be a teacher?
No.
So there's Maha Bodhisatta, Pacheka Bodhisatta,
and Savaka Bodhisatta.
Three. So another question, when those who, because we read in the suttas about, for example, Ananda or Sariputta, and they were predicted by previous Buddhas to become such and such later. So at the time when the prediction were made, they were already quite developed people in terms of understanding, isn't it?
I didn't get it. Could you repeat it, please?
Yes. My question is, because we read in the suttas about Ananda and Sariputta and other disciples, and it is said that at some point they were predicted by other Buddhas to become like the Buddha's attendants and foremost disciples, etc. So my question is, in order for a prediction to be made by a Buddha, that person already must have a high level of developed panya, or not necessarily, because similarly to the story of the Bodhisatta, when he was predicted to become a Buddha in four eons, and so is it similar in the case of the other disciples?
Only a Buddha can know the cittas of other people, so the Buddha knew that they had great wisdom and still had to develop for aeons, but still had also developed already. They had developed already.
I asked this question because I was reflecting that if they were already very highly developed people and they needed so long time still until they became enlightened, so what about
us? We know.
Yeah. But they need longer than they need even longer,
yeah.
Like the Bodhisatta needed the longer to develop all the perfections to that level and in order to become the Sambuddha, the omniscient one. And we read that the other great disciples need very, very long time to in order for the perfections to develop to that degree, and all the Patisambhadas and all the other qualities. So it needs even longer for that degree of wisdom to develop. And the Buddha is the one that can understand all the Asya and Usya, all the tendencies, so knows exactly what will happen and what tendencies will develop and what will arise in future.
Because the amount of aeons I mentioned, but I don't know, but a high, very high amount for the Bodhisattva, and not so high for Sariputta, but still very high amount of aeons of development. So different measurements. As a reminder for us now, only. Yeah.
So the resolution acted to defer the enlightenment until such time as it would be at a level.
And also, this is for Mahasavaka.
Mahasavaka.
Sariputta, Ananda.
Not ordinary Mahasavaka. Sariputta and Mokkhalana are the from great disciple, but the 80 Mahasavaka.
Still Mahasavaka. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 80 Mahasavaka. But that doesn't apply for us, for instance. They're just plain Savaka.
Enough. Good enough.
Three Savakas. Mahasavaka. Savaka. Sorry, two Savaka, two kinds of Savaka.
So in short, we need aeons, but not as many aeons as the Bodhisattvas.
You're lucky.
Well, we might need as many aeons as they need it, because because they were already very well developed at that time.
What about the next Buddha?
Yeah.
Mahasavaka or Savaka?
Not me. No resolve, no ambition.
No determination.
No, lacking, lacking. Too humble and meek.
I'm surprised that the paramis can be now. I always thought of paramis as somewhere far away.
So when will it be? When will it be then? Always high over
yes,
there.
Yes, that's
so. Never be.
Never be.
Oh, but it's now.
I'm got a surprise when I heard that. But I can see the any gusla which is leading to understanding is a parami, can be a parami.
And understanding develops.
Sacha parami, let's just follow on the question of Nina. So the aspect of Sacha parami, can you say more about that?
Would you like to understand seeing right now? No matter here or wherever, when time comes, that is Sacha. Not to go astray, go away from seeing or hearing or any reality. If you think that you cannot, or this is not right, or it's impossible to experience the arising and falling away of seeing, you try to do something else. Instead of knowing that it has to be penetrated, then it's not Sacca Parami. But if you think that this can be penetrated when Panya develops, and it is an object of panya. Otherwise, what can panya know when there's nothing at all? But since they're seeing right now, panya can understand it until it can penetrate it, until it can realize the moment of the arising and falling away, and it turns to be the understanding at level of seeing the danger of seeing. These are the stages of Vipassana, from the first one to the last one. And this is Satya.
So Satya in the sense of according to the truth.
To knowing what is true now, mm-hmm. and it has to be directly experienced. Otherwise not parami, because parami must be the accumulation of all deeds to condition the moment of direct understanding of whatever appears now mm-hmm. and develop more understanding to that degree of enlightenment.
What about the moments of being honest?
Same, Satya.
Being honest to this moment, to the reality which appears now.
Being
true to what appears.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, for example, if one thinks not the reality now because I'm at work or too tired or too busy, it's not being honest or truthful in this meaning of Satya to seeing at this moment or what appears right now.
At the beginning of the
chat today, we were talking about the lobha that's present all the time, and we were saying how for some people they can't accept that, can't see it, so that mm-hmm. would possibly also another, if one acknowledges that, then that's another aspect, I think, of being truthful to the moment.
So,
very well said.
It's true, because as soon as
lobha moves one away from the present moment, then no understanding. So as soon as lobha thinks another time, another place, another object, no. To this moment, otherwise such a parami could never develop.
And what's the way to understand seeing right now?
Understand now?
From Satyayana to Kichayana to Katayana. And another expression for Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda.
To understand seeing at this moment, not to be forgetful of seeing, but it usually passes unnoticed, unknown.
So what is Satya then?
Yeah, you need it.
Knowing the truth that there is no understanding of seeing yet.
Yeah. So we are even less truthful than we thought. Much, much less.
Truthful or untruthful, just dhamma.
the most precious moment is understanding what is the right path.
And that's why Ajahn always says, if it's not really, if there's not really very firm understanding about the right path as being the understanding of just what appears now, no matter time, place, when, where, it cannot lead to the kichanyana, the direct understanding of realities, because it's not firm enough. So the pariyatti needs to be very firm, the right intellectual understanding that it's just the reality now appearing only that can be the object of the path.
Do you know Buddha now? Do you see him now? Do you understand him? See? If there's no right understanding, you didn't at all. Just pray and think of that word, Sammasambuddho, Sammasambuddhassa, and whatever chanting. But it's not the understanding the virtues of Buddha at all.
We said it's only understanding that can know the virtues of the Buddha.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The only way. Without him, no understanding of even the word Dhamma, what is real at this moment. No idea about seeing is the self. No idea of what is the difference between pariyatti and patipatti and pativeda. Is pariyatti satyayana?
Not yet. Not yet.
Please.
Yeah. She's likely to. She's speaking.
I think not yet.
Until it's satyayana, leading to satyayana.
Yes.
So it does mean that any word that we read or heard is pariyatti. It is the understanding, the nature, the truth of it is pariyatti.
I have to think that a bit more. Not any word we hear is pariyatti.
Without understanding, it's not pariyatti.
No, without understanding. So it depends on the citta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when it's firm, it is satyayana. Like, what is the object of enlightenment? What is the object? What is the dukkha? Or dukkha arisa satya? Seeing, hearing, everything is told. All conditioned reality. But one is the cause, tanha, alopa, is the second ariya satya. See? Talking about the condition, the cause and the result by that way.
People say, well, they don't mind whether it's when they read the words, they don't mind whether it's pariyatti or not, and actually it's only panya that can tell whether it is pariyatti, whether there is any understanding at those moments. So it takes the development of understanding, the development of pariyatti, to know when it is pariyatti and when it's just reading but without any understanding.
For example, everyone hears that all realities are Dhamma, right? So very simple. But is there any moment of pondering, of thinking, or understanding that seeing now is a Dhamma. See? Hearing now, or even sound, just sound, is a Dhamma. Each word which we heard or read must conform with the reality right now.
Ajahn, what is the Satchanyana of the third and the fourth Noble Truth?
One is not moved away from this moment as object of understanding. Try to find the one which hasn't come yet, or thinking about the past which is gone. Trying to do anything is not Satchanyana. Because at moment of trying is not sati. Because satyayana will lead to kichayana, which means the development of satipatthana. But some people would like to have kichayana, know nothing about satyayana, and they'd like to patipati, and they don't mind at all how much they understand reality right now. So that is not satyayana, and that is not prayati.
And earlier we were talking, for example, about three kinds of manasikara and the chetasika, leading the way for the object to appear to citta and chetasikas, maybe a little pariyatti or maybe not, just depending on whether there's any understanding at that moment when talking about such dharmas, or if one's just repeating the terms without any understanding, then no pariyatti, so it just depends and only panya can know it at such moments.
It's like reading a story to a child.
Just depends on the detail. We need such details, whether it helps the understanding or whether it's just more information.
So is it, you said it's like reading a story
to a child.
To a child. Oh, yeah.
What they get is story.
A story about dharmas, but not pariyatti.
Too many times. Many times. For once upon a time, again and again. So many times.
Yeah.
And in reality, just a moment ago, it's once upon a time, and now it's another once upon a time.
The present moment is next moment, once upon a time.
Yeah, always. Never come back. So what's the use of experiencing all day long?
And all the stories that thinking about now and the things one's concerned about all be forgotten by tomorrow anyway.
Mm-hmm. Or if this evening, or out of this room, see, so short. Sure.